We are going to see him one day face to face. Amen. That song will become a reality for all we who are saved. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. Amen.
Amen.
And one day we're going to see him face to face. I'm glad for that. I tell you, while I'm very glad about that, it really strikes awe in my soul to know that I'm going to stand before a holy God one day. Not that I'm afraid that I'm not going to make it, because I'm saved in the grace of God. I'm not going to heaven because of anything that I've done. I'm going to heaven based on the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Not by my merit, but by his mercy.
Amen.
Not by my goodness, but by his grace.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven. But I stand in awe because I know that God is holding me accountable, as he does all of his children, for what I've done with this life that he saved me to. The life that he saved me from is over. Done. I change masters.
Amen.
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 But I am to be accountable and responsible to the life that God saved me to. And you are as well if you're saved. And that puts all in my soul. And I believe it would yours if you would just give it some thought. One day we're going to answer unto our great God, what have you done with the field that I gave you? Yeah, that's a lot. I think about that verse. I'm almost sure it's in Isaiah, where the prophet said, other vineyards have I kept. I'm paraphrasing a little bit now. But my own vineyard have I not kept. You know, sometimes, Song of Solomon, yes, I think that's, yeah. Sometimes we get so caught up in helping other people. And hey, listen, helping people is a good thing. As Christians, we ought to do that. Well, to help people get some things ironed out and get straightened out. And God will use us to do that. But now, in the process of doing that, I pray that we would not forget that we have a responsibility to keep our vineyard. Clean up around our house. Right? Well, tonight I'd like to give you a little introduction to the book of Ruth. I don't know how far we'll get into the book. We're having communion tonight, one of my favorite things to do. I'm glad for communion time. It's a time, of not only commemoration, but it's a time of celebration, and it's a time of reflection. One day, brethren, we're going to sit around a different table.
Amen.
It's very real. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you know about the marriage supper? Y'all know something about that. Amen. You're going to sit around that table if you're saved. If you don't sit around that table, your future is dim. It is. The only way you can attend the marriage supper of the Lamb is to be saved in the grace of God. And if you don't sit at that table, it is not well with your soul. And the only way you can sit at that table is to be saved in his grace. And that's going to be a time, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I want to talk to you about the book of Ruth. Look at the book, if you would. And I want to just say, first of all, there's two books in the Old Testament that are named after women. And it's really something how God has taken these books and he's drawn a lot of contrast and parallels. The book of Ruth, of course, is named after Ruth. Ruth is one of several main characters in the book. One of the things that I have tried to do in my Bible study and that I have learned from others and I've tried to adapt in my own life is to look at the Bible in ways of life. Well, number one, what is the primary interpretation of the text? What's the primary interpretation of the book of Ruth? Well, it's a historical account that is taken, look in verse number one, in the times of the judges. In order to really get a mindset of what's going on in the book of Ruth, you have to look at the time and the setting in which it's given. It was a time, and if you'll just, I don't know how your Bible's laid out, but if you go back to the end of the book of Judges ends this way. The book of Judges is the book just prior in your Old Testament to the book of Ruth. Look at chapter 21 of Judges in verse number 25, and this is how the book ends. In those days, what days? The days of the judges. There was no king in Israel. Now we know that the people began to clamor and they began to complain and they said, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. Right? In those days, and by the way, when you read these days, they were dark days. They were days of apostasy. They were days when the people of God, on a cycle, continuously went away from God. And God would judge them. And God would allow their enemies to suppress them. And then they would cry aloud unto God. And God would come to their rescue. And God would deliver them. And they would live a while praising the Lord. And then they would begin to stray from God. And that was just a vicious cycle. And here's why. The Bible's going to tell us why right here. I want you to notice carefully. In verse 25 it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but I think this is very important that I just let you know what is being said here. Say, well, you know, a lot of times when we think about that, we think of murder and thievery, and we think of people with just doing heinous, wicked, terrible things. But the Bible didn't say every man did that which was wrong. It just said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, I think it's right, and who are you to tell me that it's not? What era does that sound like? Who made you the judge? Who left you in charge? Who told you that it was wrong? Isn't everything relative? Don't we decide what is right and wrong? No, God does. God decides what's right and wrong. Amen. If God says it's right, it's right. Amen. It doesn't matter who else is or is not doing it. If God said it's right, it's right. Amen. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Doesn't matter if it feels good. Doesn't matter if it seems to pay good. If God said it is wrong, it is wrong. Right. You don't need a Greek lexicon to figure that out. We don't need a Hebrew dictionary to figure that out. God either says thou shalt or thou shalt not. It's either right or wrong. It's light or darkness. I think sometimes we try to make things difficult and complex and God has really made simple. And so in the days of the judges, I want you to understand the times in which the setting of the book was written. It was written in a time when every man, Judges 21 verse 25, in those days did that which was right in his own eyes. And then the Bible says that there was a hard time that came, okay? So we have the time that it was written, and there was a hard time that came, and we're going to find the place of the writing of this book. The time was the time of the judges. It was a time when every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. He just said, you know what? I think it's right. I'm going to do it. Feels good to me. I'm going for it. But what about the place? Where did this take place at? Notice where it took place at. Verse number 1 also tells us that. It says, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. It took place in Bethlehem. Well, certainly, in our era, especially right around this time, there's a lot said about Bethlehem. A lot of people's attention has been turned toward Bethlehem in the last few weeks. Whether it be in some songs or whether it be in some celebrations or whether it be in some decorations, a lot of people's minds and hearts have been kind of centered on this place called Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. When you find a famine in the Bible, most of the time, it's God's judgment upon his people. And so when you look at this time, it's when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you look at the place in which this happened, it was in Bethlehem, a most unlikely place. Put the two together, a famine, a shortness of food in the house of bread. You just wouldn't expect it to be. And yet the Bible says it was. And then you have this family. I want you to notice the family that we're introduced to. A certain, the Bible says, man, in verse number one, of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn, and we'll get to this in just a moment. And again, I'm not sure how far I'm going to get in this. I just want to lay a foundation. So you have this book that's written about a woman. That's a family, but predominantly this woman's going to rise to the top. And I don't know how far to go into this, but there's a great... As far as the preliminary or the primary interpretation, it's about a Jewish family, okay? Who this one woman meets this Gentile woman, okay? The Jewish woman is going to represent the nation of Israel. That's how we get our prophetic revelation. Listen, when you study the scripture, you have to look for prophetic revelation. When she went out big and strong, but she came back. 1/4 in number. When the Jews were exiled from the land, they went out many. They were dispersed. One day, they're going to come back to their land. But they're not going to come back the way they went in. And while they were away, there was a Gentile being drawn to this kinsman redeemer by the name of Boaz. Who that she just happed, this Gentile woman, to land in his field. How about that? And it was gleaning time, the time of harvest. See, if you're not careful when you study this book, you'll forget that. Notice how chapter number one ends, okay? The Holy Ghost of God wants us to know this. The last part of verse number one says, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. Harvest time. When? When that Jewish woman started migrating back to her land. Harvest picked up. And the kinsman redeemer is getting ready to come on the scene. All this has prophetic inference, okay? And so you have a primary interpretation. You have a prophetic application or revelation. And then we're going to make some personal application, all right? I'll get a little further in some of those things later. So you have the book of Ruth. And the Bible says in the time that it was in the time of the judges. The place was in Bethlehem. It was in a dark day, and there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. What do you know about Moab? Somebody tell me something that the Bible says about Moab. It is God's washpot. It's a garbage can. Stay away from God's washpot. Don't go there. Well, when times get tough, what should we do? Not go to Moab. So the scripture says that this certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, in verse number 1, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So we're introduced to this Jewish family. And the Bible says the name of the man was Elimelech. You know what the word Elimelech means? God is my king. Isn't that something? And the scripture says the name of the wife was Naomi. Pleasantness. Miss Sunshine. You ever met somebody like that? They're just smiling and got just a great disposition about them. Happy family, right? Happy family, living in the land of bread, the house of bread. God is their king. But the Bible says about this family that they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, I want you to notice what happens here. So here's this family, and here's a great application. And if we don't get any further than this, we're going to settle right here a little bit. Things are going well. Here's a family that in spite of everyone that is doing that which is right in their own eyes, they're staying straight. As far as I can tell, the scripture gives us no indication, even though these children's names mean puny and sickness, okay, Mahlon and Chilion. Even though the scripture doesn't give any indication, it appears that they're kind of going along and things are going well. And then this famine comes. Now, I want you to notice this, okay? And I want you to pay close attention to this, because I can't tell you in the many years of ministry that I have seen people do this. And I'm going to tell you, I've taken some wrong steps here in my own life. When famines come, you have to be careful. So I want you to listen to me, okay? When famines come, people get a little antsy. People get a little scared. People get a little, well, and a little unrest. Maybe a little apprehensive. And they don't wait on the Lord. And they begin to live by sight and not faith, which is a dangerous thing. And they begin to act on feeling and not faith. And so when hardship comes, there was a famine. Here they were. Every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. They appeared to kind of stay straight. God is my king. Miss Pleasantness, Miss Sunshine, the good family, trying to do what is right. And then this famine comes. This hardship. Hardships, listen, they have a way of sowing what we're made of, right? What are we going to do when the hard times come? It's easy to live for God when the good times are on us, right? Yeah, it's easy to shout the victory and say praise the Lord, but then the hard times come. There's a famine. Maybe there's a trial in our lives. Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe it's a marital situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Hard times come. The tests come. We begin to get a little uneasy. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to get a little discontented. Now, please hear me. It happens in all of our lives. You say, well, preacher, it's not happening to me. Well, if it's not now, it probably has or it will. There's going to be times that we begin to question things and we begin to say, well, you know what? This must mean that I must do this. I've got to do something. When hard times come, when trials come, I've just got to do something, you see. And that is exactly what this family does. The Bible says in verse number 1, look at it, that they went to sojourn. You know what a sojourn is? It's just a temporary, it's just a short journey. It's kind of like a camping trip. You don't really pack everything up. You just say, you know what, we're just going to kind of go down here for a little bit. This will pass and kind of a little hide away, and then everything will get back to normal. Now, you be careful about that, okay? You be careful about that. And God help me to be also. Because a lot of times, notice what it said in verse number 1. It said they went to sojourn. That's in verse number 1. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says in the latter part of it, they continued there. You see that? You know, wrong decisions, sin, things that we think, well, you know what, this is just temporary. They have a way of keeping us longer than we intended them to. There's this old saying, and I don't even know, I'll probably slaughter it, but it goes something like this: sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll teach you more than you want to know. It'll cost you more than you can pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And so bad decisions have a way of just kind of compounding, right? I mean, you know, just one leads to the next and to the next. And so we have a man and his family who the Bible says that there was a hard time come, there was a trial, there was a famine. I see nowhere where he got counsel, where he waited on the Lord, where he prayed. He just acted by sight. You know, he just thought, well, you know what? There's a famine. I've got to feed my family. And no doubt he maybe tried to justify that, you know. Hey, man's got to feed his family. Well, I don't know. You hear people say stuff like this. Well, you know, a man's got to live. Well, the Bible didn't say a man's got to live. See, a man's got to die. Right? It's appointed unto man once to die. That's what the Word says. And there's just going to come a time in your life and in my life where I'm going to have to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I can't write it on a piece of paper. I can't see it with my physical eye. I just have to know that I know that I know that God is in charge and God is going to keep His promise. God's going to meet my need. As we've seen this morning, God is my helper. God's going to help me. I'm not dogging Elimelech. Obviously, the man was a good man. His name, his parents named him God is my king. Had a good wife, but they made a wrong turn. And the Bible says that they went down into Moab, the curse country. God placed a curse on this place. He said, they're not, listen, he said, I don't want them inside the camp. The Moabites and the Ammonites, the two illicit sons of Lot. Grandsons. Well, sons by his daughters, I'm sorry. Verse number 3. The Bible says, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left of her two sons, and they took them wives, the two sons did, of women of Moab. Man, this thing is complicating. You see what's happening? He said, well, I'll just kind of go over here for a little bit till this passes, and everything will be okay. He died. They continued there, and now his sons are marrying women from this place. It just, you know, it just keeps getting worse. And then the scripture says this in the latter part of verse number 4. It says, after they took them wives, it gives their names, Orpah, and the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there. So they went from sojourning there, you see it, to continuing there, to now dwelling there for 10 years. A sojourn, 10 days, 10 weeks max, a sojourn, to 10 years. What are we to learn from this? A lot. A lot. We're to learn that God wants us to think about before we act. Where are you at in your spiritual life? You be careful about making big decisions. Pastor Dave and I were just talking about this. And it just came to, as we were talking, it just came to my mind something that I was told as a young Christian. Son, you be careful about making big decisions when you're in a bad way. You be careful. You learn what it is to wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's just a time to wait, to get good biblical counsel, to get your heart in tune, and to make sure that what you're getting ready to do, that God is leading in it. I'm not saying there's not a time to make the move. But now, if you're making a move that is highly questionable, you need to really check that thing out. If you're Elimelech, and there's a famine in the land, and you're considering Moab, you better go back to the prayer closet on that one. Amen. Really think that through. If you're going against greater wisdom, if you're going against godly counsel, if you're going against biblical principles, take caution. It's probably not going to end well. You don't want to see that happen. Because it will not only affect you, Elimelech, it's going to affect your Naomi's and your children. All right? And we have to understand this. And so as we enter into a new year, we have to keep this in mind. Now, I want to close with this for tonight. We're going to have communion. You say, well, preacher, I've made some really stupid decisions in my life. Well, line up with us. Amen. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I've made some really dumb decisions. I have. I've made some dumb decisions. Can I tell you, the times that I've made dumb decisions is really when I made them on my own. I didn't get counsel. I didn't seek the Lord's face. I just thought I knew, well, this is the obvious thing to do here. I just really believe that in this day in which Elimelech and Naomi and their family were living, every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. It was just right in the people's eyes. I mean, come on, there's a famine in the land. Let's just go where there's bread. I mean, you know, that's not a big deal. It is with God. God wants me to seek him in every decision that I make, especially when it comes to uprooting my family and moving my family and going to places that God said not to go. Yes. So the scripture says, be cautious. But there may be somebody here that would say, well, you know what? I've made some poor choices. What's a person who's made some poor choices and got themselves in a fix? Do you have anything to help us tonight? I do. The same Bible. The Bible says that sometimes when we get out of places that we ought to be in, that God will send some news to us. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. I really like this. The Bible says, after her husband died, Naomi, and verse number 5, her two sons died, and she was left of her two sons and husband. It was just, here she was, a widowed woman. It says she arose in verse number 6 with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Now, listen, for she had heard. Aren't you glad for good news from a far country? Amen. Amen. She had heard God is feeding the people in Bethlehem. And she's probably saying, I would to God 1,000 times over would have never left that place. But now listen, you can beat yourself up now until your last day. But what good is that going to do you? Naomi no doubt had regret, but Naomi knew, thank God there's hope. Amen. I'm going back. I'm going back to where I left God. I'm going back to where I got out of his will. I'm going back, and I'm going to restore some things. Amen. Amen. Now, she had a mixed up. At this time, she was really mixed up. She thought God was against her. Look at verse 13. Look at the latter part of verse 13. She said, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of God has gone out against me. No, it hadn't. You made that decision, Naomi. You and Elimelech made that decision. So often we say, look what God has done. Look, she said it again down in verse number 21. She said, I went out full in verse 21. Well, let's look at the latter part. I'm sorry, verse number 20. She said, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty, empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Well, now, God didn't make that decision for them. Yeah. See, sometimes when we make poor decisions and we get ourselves in bad ways and we get ourselves in fixes, we begin to say, why did God do this to me? Why did God take my husband? Why did God take my children? Why did God allow this in my life? No, brethren, no. Many times the fixes we find ourselves in are because of the decisions that we made without seeking God's counsel and God's word. And Naomi was a little confused here, but I'm glad that God received her back. Amen. Aren't you? Amen. I'm glad that God had a plan outside of her little box of a plan. Aren't you glad God's got a plan outside of your little window of plan that you might think you have? I am so thankful that God is a God of providence and sovereignty. Amen. You never know what God is going to do. Can I tell you that had Naomi, now listen, only God can do this. Now I'm not saying tempt God now. Naomi went to Moab. In the providence of God, she met Ruth. Ruth came back with her, and in the providence of God, met Boaz. And they got married. And she became the great-grandmother of David in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. She grafted in the Gentiles, brethren. She's mentioned in the lineage of our Lord in Matthew chapter 1. See, God can do that in your situation too. That's the only reason I bring that up. So you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, I've messed my life totally up. I remember when I was sitting in my home, even after I got saved, and I thought, my life is a mess. Can even God straighten this old life of mine out? Little did I know. Are you listening? Little did I know. God had a plan. God's got a plan for your life too. You say, well, it doesn't look like it's unfolding very well right now. Well, the final chapter hasn't been written. Amen. She heard news, the Bible says in verse number 6. She'd heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Look at that in verse 6. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God is still willing to meet your need, even though you're in a place that you never thought you would be. I believe there was a time in Naomi's life she would have never dreamt she'd have been down in Moab with boys married to those Moab women. Now she's headed back home with one of them as her daughter-in-law. Sometimes we can just get ourselves in places, brethren, that we just never dreamt we would. Amen. 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 I'm not advocating, listen, I'm in no way condoning or advocating wrongdoing. I'm just saying that we're broken. We need God's help. And if we get ourselves in a bad way, listen, I'm not saying God will excuse it. God always judges sin. But I may be speaking to somebody here tonight that you've gotten yourself in a fix. And there's a God in heaven who wants you to know he still is spreading the table. He wants you to get the news tonight. Have you heard? God hasn't given up on you. God hasn't given up on you.
Amen.
He still has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Say, well, can God put this old mixed up life of mine back together? Piece by piece.
Amen.
Far better than you ever imagined. You just got to hear the news. Follow the faith. Get back to where God wants you. God will begin to meet your needs. So the scripture says that my time is up. I'll give you one final thing, okay? The Bible says, and I have to do this, okay? You be careful who you get your counsel from. Naomi, she's in a bad place. She got some news. She went back. I'm glad she went back, okay? I'm thankful. But she had two daughter-in-laws, and you can read this sometimes. Orpah and Ruth. She wasn't in a good place to be given spiritual counsel. She said, I want you to go back to your own country and your own God. I wonder if when she got back and God began to work in Ruth's life, if she remembered this. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. After she had told them that, and you can read this sometime, she told them in verse number 11, you turn again, and you know, will you go with me? You know, I'm not going to have any more sons. You go back to your gods, and right? You go back to your country. And verse number 14 says that they, meaning Ruth and Orpah, you see it? They lifted up their voice and wept again. Watch this now. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. I was thinking about this today. This book is rich, okay? I mean, I hope I didn't do any dishonor to it. I want to honor God's word. I wonder if Naomi ever done that. Thought about the kiss that Orpah left on her cheek. When she seen what God did for Ruth, said, you know, I should have never told that girl to go back. Backsliding is a very serious thing, brethren. I just wonder if when God was unfolding all of that for Ruth and Naomi seen it, she witnessed it. She even told her, sit still and let's just see what God's going to do here now since you've been out in the fields gleaning. Read it sometime. It's a wonderful thing. I wonder if she ever thought, you know, I never hear it anymore. The Bible never mentions, as far as I can tell now, somebody, if you can, come to me. I'm open to it. I can never see where this woman, Orpah, I can never see where she's mentioned ever again in the scripture. She goes out into oblivion, never to be heard of again. You never know. That's why it pays to walk in the Spirit, to be cautious about what you say, how you say it, and who you say it to. Maybe your final time to say something to them. This woman grabbed her, kissed her on the cheek, and then followed her advice to go back to her gods and her country. Not good advice. I just wonder if she just thought, man, I wonder what Orpah's up to. Have you ever had an opportunity to witness to someone and either you didn't do it or you wasn't the right kind of witness and you never got another opportunity? Just be careful. So we're going to get into this book. I know it's a little scattered tonight. But I want you to understand something. Number one, don't let feelings and circumstances control your decisions. I'm going to give you a couple of takeaways. Don't let feelings and circumstances dictate your decisions. Make biblical-based decisions. Base your decisions upon the Word of God. All right? Don't let feelings control. Listen, feelings are the most shallow part of our being. It's the most shallow part of our makeup. God doesn't do His greatest work in our most shallow parts. Amen. Understand that. You say, well, I don't feel this, I don't feel that. Feelings are way down on the list. Right? So number one, don't act on feelings, don't let circumstances, don't let that control you. Number two, pray. Seek counsel. See what God says. And if you're unsure, wait. You know, back when I was growing up, and this wasn't even Christian counsel. This was just good old, what we call gray and white-haired wisdom. When in doubt, don't. How many of you remember that growing up? When in doubt, don't. Just wait until you have some clarity on the matter, and then move. All right? Say, well, I'm getting ready to make a huge decision. And I'm just unsure, but I think I'm just going to take a blind step. No. No, you just wait. God will give you clarity. You wait on the Lord. And then finally, as we stand to our feet, if you've messed up, and you have, God has helped you get back to where you needed to be, and if you stuck with Him and stayed with Him, He did, then you know what I'm getting ready to say is so. There may be somebody either watching by live stream or here tonight, and you say, I'm just not in a good place in my life. Maybe it's something that you have done. Maybe it's decisions that you have made. Maybe it's some things that have happened out of your control. I don't know. But I know this. God knows. You may find yourself in a country that's unfamiliar. And by that, I mean a place in your life that you never thought you'd be in. Okay? It can happen. You with me, brethren? Listen, if you've lived long enough, you know that in this life we can find ourselves in places we thought we would never find ourselves in. And in situations we thought we would never be in. We thought of others being in them, but we just never thought we would be. Now that you're there, what are you going to do? I want to tell you that God will help you. God will help you. He knows your situation. He will send you word. He did to Naomi. He will send you word. It may be as you're reading your Bible one morning. It may be through the preaching of the word. It may be through a good Christian friend. It may be through a stranger. I don't know. God's going to send you word that He knows about your situation and that He's going to help you. And I'm here to tell you that tonight. God will help you. But as we saw this morning, there's just got to be some steps that you take. And if we'll take biblical steps, God will help us. You believe that, brethren?
Amen.
There's a lot of hurting people in this world. I wasn't going to read this, but I think I am. Give me a moment, Meredith. This is a suicide letter. Sometimes you never know who you're working next to or what the person lives across the street from you is going through. Just never know. You think you do. Maybe the person sitting in front of you at church. Maybe it doesn't have to be across the street or across the aisle in the workplace or someone that you see in a grocery store or department store. I leave to a society an example. I leave to friends the memory of a misspent life. I leave to my father and mother all the sorrow that they can bear in their old age. I leave to my wife a broken heart, and to my children the name of a drunkard and to suicide. I leave to God a lost soul that has insulted his mercy. It's a suicide note. It's real. There's people all around us hurting. They found themselves out of place. They thought they would take a little sojourn, and the enemy has kept them in that bad place for many years, and they see absolutely no way back. There may be somebody here tonight that way. You just think, you know what, this is, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to recover. Yes, you will. As God is your helper, yes, you will. I'm here to tell you now. You're looking at a man, I know there is absolutely nothing that God cannot do.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
I pray that you do. Let's bow our heads together.